Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
People, thank you so much for hanging on. We had to let the general go. You all listening, you know what happened with live radio, and we're trying to work with the telephones all around the world. The telephone system in Croatia is they're kind of suffering right now, and so we had to let the general go. That's just the way it is. But we got Monica Schaefer's coming up. She's going to join us and me and Jim Prezzoli. I'm going to open up and set the table, and then I'm going to bow out, and these two wonderful people are going to kind of ramrod the show. We were talking about in the beginning of the show, the theme of tonight's show is solutions. Solutions. You know, and Alexander Solzhenitsyn told us really all we need to know. We know that there are countless millions of innocent people, mostly white. Well, they're all white. And many millions of Christians were butchered in the most horrible way. They were froze to death. You heard the general talk about how they poured water over this priest and with minus 30 degrees, and they made him into a human chunk of ice. You know what they did? They took the general's brother. They skinned him. They took people during the War of Independence, the Croatian War of Independence. They took humans and shooed them like shooing horses, driving nails in their feet. They made them eat salt. All this crap went on in Europe from 1918 to the Russian with the Russian Revolution. It was a revolution, according to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, said that if a handful of Jews came in, mainly from New York, and the ones that were in exile out of Russia from Switzerland, and they came in there and they organized this this revolution with their endless money. And you know all about the Reds versus the Whites, and the Whites run, and the great general in South Africa, and the Soviet Union in Russia lost. But here's the thing. They went, I don't know how meekly, I don't know how much they had the material they had to resist in the Soviet Union, but it seems to me like they could have put up a better fight. God forgive me if I'm wrong. But the point is, and must have not have fought too hard, or Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the great man, would not have said what he said if they'd have resisted. If he kept saying that 100 times over, but they didn't do it. They did not resist. That's where we are now, people. We have these same people here in the United States that hate our guts. The government has been totally taken over by Luciferian communist Bushelfix. Look, and I'll bring this up. We were talking about this in the break. We have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Milley. I'll give you a little rundown on him. He's a communist. He's an agitator. He did go to he didn't even go to West Point. He went to Princeton. I'm giving you a little set the table now. He went to Princeton. When he was in Princeton, his thesis to get out of, I guess, his bachelor's degree was it was a 184-page book about how to go about every little detail, how to organize, how to pull off a guerrilla revolution, like AKA Cuba. AKA some of these other South American and African countries. That's what he wanted to do here in the United States. And that's pretty much what they did without a lot of shooting in the streets. But what they did, to quote some of my more intellectual friends, they talk about the Frankfurt School. They came in, this Frankfurt School, these Jews in the 20s and 30s came in. They've infiltrated. They had a long march through the institutions. Well, one of those institutions we thought they'd never get, and I'm going to try to bring this ahead real quick, was they completely taken over the military. This General General Milley and Defense Secretary Asper, President Trump was too dumb to fire them, or too cowardice. I don't know why. It doesn't matter. He should have fired them. They're complete communist revolutionaries, and they're bragging now. Now, those two people about how they stole the election here in the United States, and they got their communist buddies in every area of land, of the government and non-government, the universities. They own the media. They own Zuckerberg. You know, Facebook. They own everything, and they brag about it. And listen, people, they're telling us with their buddies like Bill Ayers, who back in the 70s was talking about how Bill Ayers, big buddy, he was big guy in the Weatherman organization, a very violent student organization, big buddies with Obama. And they said, they're going to have to execute. They're going to have to kill about 25, 28 million people in the United States, but that won't go along with this communist revolution. Well, now they're talking about 70 to 73 million. And we have this guy in the military who reads Karl Marx. He reads Mao Zedong. He's introducing critical race theory into the military. They're having critical race theory introduced in all 50 states, United States of America, under the NEA. So that's where we are now. So listen, and we could talk about that forever. But people, I submit to you, we don't need any more books to tell us that Jews are evil sons of the devil. We don't need any more books or dead poets to sit there and lecture to us that a lot of the black population, some of them may be good, I'm not concerned with them, but a lot of them, look at South Africa, look at Detroit, Chicago, Minneapolis, St. Paul, most of them, a good part of them, they're just animals, and they hate white people. They're boring hating white people. The Jews hate white people because they're their father, the devil. And I've said, and then we're getting ready to go to those people. Here's what I say. If we don't do something different, what we've been doing in the past has not worked. I'm telling you, all these people out there, they keep preaching this nonviolent crap. Look what they did. They had nonviolent crap in the Soviet Union and 100 million people died. You keep preaching. You've been preaching the wrong crap. We've been doing everything wrong all these years. So this, we have the solutions. What are the solutions, Jim Rozzoli? Give us some of them. Wow. Give us one of them.
I mean, what you said, I mean, you said quite a bit. And when you have a military that has been taken over, I hate the term, fags. I mean, that's what it's been taken over by. And
correct.
They're doing what they're doing. How do you expect to run a country in a way that's a good way? It's never going to happen. So it is really bad. I mean, again, the military is one of the litmus tests to see how a country is run. And if your military is based on faggotry, then you got a problem. And we definitely have a problem here. And these guys, like you say, they're Marxists. And their whole ambition is to just destroy this country. There's no doubt about it.
You know, Monica, going back to Bill Ayers, was he serious in your mind? Was he serious? And was Bernie Sanders, fast forward, going from the 70s when Bill Ayers said it, and Bernie Sanders' chief aide, Bernie the Jew from Maine, I think it is, that who had a flag, a Soviet Union Army Sickles flag from his kibbutz days when he lived in a kibbutz in Israel. That's right, he lived in Israel. He's not they call it dual citizenship, but they have one citizenship and one loyalty. They're loyal to the little sandbox country over there, in Israel. And but are they serious when Bill Ayers said 25 million, we're going to kill 25 million of you clowns, and then Bernie Sanders' assistant said no, like 70 million, and we're having other people talk about, you hear, we played a YouTube clip on about 2 months ago. We had this gal, a guy called in, Monica, to Sean Hannity show. Sean Hannity had a woman in there sitting in for him, and he told her basically, we've got the institutions now. We control every single institution there is, and I just named them a minute ago. I won't beat those to death. Military, the school, the universities, media, etc. And we're going to have to get rid of about 73 million of you people. Do you think they're serious about that, Monica? Or can we just fluff that off and not worry about it?
Yes, it's worse than that. They've actually written it in stone. They plan to kill the majority of the world's population, and it's written in stone in the Georgia Guidestones. We are in a war. I've said that many times, but I think it is... We can repeat it again. We are in a war. It's not of our choosing. We did not start this war. And like Jim says, the military, if they're, now that they revere the fags instead of the way the general said in the past, that if you were a fag, you wouldn't rise in the ranks at all. It was hidden and you'd have to keep it very secret. If you were a fag, now it's revered. So the world is upside down. And all these things that are degenerate and bad, they are revered and praised, and this is what's held up. So if we are in a war, we have to do things differently, like you said, and I'm so glad that you started the show in the first hour with this is about solutions, and then you quoted Alexander Solzhenitsyn. It's perfect, because you see, it's do or die time now. We can talk and tell the truth about things and whatnot, and that's really important to wake up as many people as we can, and that's what we're all doing. However, if they are coming to our doors now, which is what they have said they are doing and they're starting to do, that is absolutely where the line is drawn, and we do have to do as Alexander Solzhenitsyn wished they had done. We have to shoot them. That's all there is to it. And this is not an act of aggression. That is an act of self-defense. It's very important to understand that is self-defense, because they have shown us, they have told us that they intend to kill us, and they are killing us. They have already killed many people. The mainstream media twists and lies about this, but many people have already died from this shot, this injection of rat poison. And so I don't know how much more clear it has to be made for us. You know, future historians, if we sit back and do nothing, and I do hear the music, but I'll hold that, I guess, for after the break.
As soon as we come back from the break, Miss Monica, you finish your dialogue. I'll comment on that, and we'll go right back to Jim. Hang on. We'll come right back with Mr. Jim Rizzoli and Miss Monica Schaefer, My Little Sister.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week, because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Dear people, it's almost having so much fun here. I don't know if you call it fun or just I feel like I'm able to try to do something, even if it's just point at the beast and spit in the beast's eye. But I like to go back to what we've been talking about earlier. But before I do that, before I comment, I remember I almost forgot Miss Monica needs to finish her dialogue that she was progressing with before we went to the break. Go ahead, my little sister Braveheart, I like to call her. Go ahead, Miss Monica.
Thanks, Eddie. Well, you know, there have been all these things that you could call hopium given to us. And I think one example that comes to mind is that Q phenomenon that was just basically get people to sit and wait. There's a plan. It's all going to work out well. Meanwhile, they entrench their warfare against us deeper and deeper. And I did hear that in the Soviet Union, there was a similar type of a thing. And I actually forgot now what it was called, but in the 1920s, they had some similar thing going on where they gave the people all this hope. And I'm not sure what the means was. It probably must have been through the mainstream media, and they didn't have internet back then. But they were, you know, giving the people this impression that it's all being taken care of. There's a plan. There, you know, it's okay. So people sit and wait. And that's a natural thing for us people, you know, human beings. We like to have hope that, and of course we should always have hope. And I've always told people, I've always said, don't ever lose hope. However, that doesn't mean that we do not take action. And so far, the actions that I've been really advocating is do not participate in their agenda. For example, you know, do not wear the masks and say no, just simply say no to an injection. However, they are not going to stop until we stop them. A lot of people kind of went along with this and that and the other thing, the masks, for instance. They just went along to get along. It's not a big deal. It's just a mask. And then when everything goes back to normal, it'll all be okay and we can take off our mask. And when this pandemic is over, but it's not a pandemic of a virus. No, it's a whole nother thing. I mean, we don't need to go over that. This is their tool to exert utter and total control over us and to kill us. They have written it in stone. Again, the Georgia Guidestone. So if they are trying to kill us and then they come door to door, this is where I say we absolutely have every right in the world to fight back with actual force. But not only the right, but if we value our lives, and it's not even just about valuing liberty anymore and freedom. It is about valuing life and that we want to carry yes. on with life, that we have to actually shoot them. And that's, you know, people are shocked. I answered to John Kaminsky. He wrote an article just really recently saying exactly that, and he sent it out to a number of people. I did a reply all, and one of the people was shocked at my words. And I say, why? Like, this is what we have to do. We are clearly in a war. They will not stop until we stop them. So that's where I'm at. And you talked about solutions. And I say, yeah, if they're not going to stop until we stop them, if they're coming to our doors, it is with the intent to kill us. It's not perhaps immediately like they did in the Soviet Union, drag them off and execute them with or torture them or whatever. But this is a different kind of execution. It might take a few months, might even take a couple of years for these injections to take their effect. Some of them might even be placebos so that it's not quite so obvious. So if they give some people the saline solution and they're perfectly well and healthy and they don't get any ill effects, they say, see, look, it's all good. No, but they are trying to kill massive amounts of people. So that's, I'll hand it over back to you.
Well, I love your term hopium. I'm gonna put that on my wall too. And like said to Miss Monica earlier in the break, if her precious friend is shocked by what Miss Monica said, just wait until wait and see if that shocks her. What's her reaction going to be when they drag her relatives off and skin them alive and make them eat pure salt and drive nails up into their feet and send them into gulags and work them to death? And this, that's what's going to happen. And I submit to our other friends out there that are preaching, and you probably know them. I'm not going to mention any names right now. When I go to my speech in September, there'll be plenty of time to mention all that. But we have these people out here, and I call them pacifists. Like, they're worse than these mealy-mouthed preachers. They're preaching, don't say, watch your language. Don't use slur words. Don't use racial words. Don't even mention being violent. And I'm going to be oversimplified now. Even if they come into your house with a chainsaw and start cutting up your relatives alive, tell them, say, please don't do that, because we think that's mean-spirited for you to do that. Don't even say anything bad, because if you do, you know what they're going to do? They control the news media, and they're going to say that you're a bad person. They're going to say you're a homophobe, or you're a racist, or you're anti-Semite. So what you got to do, under no circumstances, nothing, I don't care what happens, you're supposed to be peaceful, and what you do, the thing is you get out the word. You tell as many people as you can, and then those people will tell as many people as you can, and then when we all know what there is to know, then what the hell are we going to do? Because these people that are preaching that crap, I'll tell them, well, that's great, because you've been in the movement as long as I have, and now since you've been preaching all this peace, and you're really sweet and nice to the Jews and the blacks, etc., the ADL, they love you now. They've made you an honorary Jew. Well, that's the hell with that. That is not going to work. It hasn't worked in 75 years, and it's going to lead us to our death in the death camps. Jim Rozzoli, what do you think about that, brother?
I agree with you again, Eddie. You're on a roll tonight, Eddie, that's for sure. But the thing, you know, if someone comes to your door, remember, most important word in the English language is no. So if someone comes to your door and they say, we're going to do this, and you say no, then that means no. So if they try to force you, then you could do whatever you want to stop them, right? I mean, that's the way it is. The word no has a lot of power. So there you go. Don't be afraid to say no.
You know something else, Jim? I'm going to go further to these brethren, I call them. And they're not brothers of mine. They're milk toast peace knickers. I'm going to say, I think if whether or not they realize it, they are controlled opposition. We have a lot of people on the radio that call their white represent the white race. They're patriots. They're this. They're that. They're for human rights. You name it. All that list. No, you're not. What you are is you're an. Every time you tell our young people, whatever you do, I don't care what happens, don't resort to violence. Go home, go along to get along. You don't make sure you have proper grammar in English, and you don't call a black an N. You don't call a Jew a kite. You call them, oh, you're so respectful. He's just another religion. You see what I mean? I think if you're leading our people, our young people, away from the solution, and the solution is, we outlined it earlier in the show, you go on a county level. You have to have a county constitutional sheriff, a godly sheriff, as based on the King James Bible. You have to have a godly legal district attorney. You have to have a legal grand jury, a legal posse / militia, all the one and the same. That's the only way. We're going to have to arm. Did the founding fathers say, when they sent the redcoats over here and they were killing their people, did they say, oh, well, you know, we're just going to go over there and kill them? Hey, redcoats, it's not nice to come in here and rape our mothers and our sisters. Well, if you don't mind, please, if you're going to do it, just do it gently, you know. Don't have a loving rape, you know. No, I'm telling you, people out there, if you're not preaching the gospel of gathering yourself legally, the biblical matter, to confront this terror that's coming down the pike, they've already said they're going to kill us. Miss Monica mentioned the Georgia Guidestones. It's in book after book after book, statement after statement after statement. They tell us they're going to kill us. They're saying it. You look what's going on in South Africa. It's going to be worse than that. They hate you. They hate your guts. They hate your ancestors. So I say, you people out there, if you keep preaching this peace crap, you are controlled opposition. I'll never take that back. How about that, Monica?
Yeah. I mean, they are using this pacifism against us. You're absolutely right, Eddie. Absolutely right. And I do hear the music, but after the break, carry on.
And we come back, Jim, you jump in anytime you want to, brother. I'm probably getting too hot tonight. But, we'll be right back, folks. Hang on.
liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. The U.S. government can utilize high-altitude balloons to provide internet access to Cubans, a Federal Communications Commission commissioner says. The advantage of a high-altitude balloon, a proven tech that would not require new infrastructure in Cuba, Brendan Carr wrote on Twitter on Saturday. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, a Republican, called on President Joe Biden to provide internet to the island after the ruling regime moved to shut it off. Most of us look at the Surfside Memorial Wall and see only heartbreak, grief, and sadness. Surfside Mayor Charles Burkett.
Their credit was being attacked. The cards were being opened up in their name. Things were being purchased in their name. And we had our Surfside Police Department at the Marriott taking police reports. And we are now hunting down the bad guy.
This is USA Radio News.
The best companion a pillow has ever had. You've heard me talking about Mike Lindell's Giza Dreams bed sheets now for a couple of years. They're the perfect companion to the MyPillow, made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. Its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. And just like the MyPillow, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Try it for yourself. Mike Lindell and I promise you'll sleep better or you get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA. You'll get 2-for-1 pricing plus free shipping, but only by using my promo code USA. Or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the Giza Dream Sheets special. And the promo code USA gets you up to 66% off the entire line of MyPillow products. Sleep better with the Giza Dreams bed sheets and save at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
A UN court has decided to allow employers the right to ban religious headwear. USA's Wendy King reports.
The European Union Court of Justice ruled that private employers can prohibit headscarves if it's part of a comprehensive ban on all religious and political symbols in relation to a policy on neutrality. The decision, part of a case brought by two Muslim women working in Germany, reaffirmed a similar decision in 2017. Critics say the rules are discriminatory and target those practicing Islam. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
Three New Jersey brothers will pay $1.6 million to settle charges of instigating more than 45 million illegal robocalls nationwide, including to tens of millions of Americans on the Federal Trade Commission's Do Not Call Registry, the agency announced on Friday. The siblings also agreed to a permanent ban on telemarketing. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, people, right back. We're getting ready to go into next to the last break. But listen, I'm going to reiterate what I said. I'm going to double down. All these people out there preaching this peacenik crap. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just mindless violence. I'm talking about if you don't have the courage, if you don't have the discernment and the wisdom to know that your life is in mortal danger right now, if you can't look around and see this Satan worshiping SOB we have in the White House. He said, hey, we have nukes. If you try to resist the establishment, the communist regime that's taking you over, he said, we have fighter planes. We have F-16 fighter bombers, and we have nukes. And he said, he's going to nuke his own people, dude. Well, you know what? If that doesn't, and you're still sitting around and say, oh, we're going to preach peace, no violence under any circumstances, we can't use any foul language, I tell you this, you are worthless. You're worse than worthless. You're leading our people in the wrong direction. You're leading them like a Judas goat. You're leading them to their own slaughter because you're telling them, don't defend yourself. Don't defend your mother, your father, your grandparents. Don't defend your wife. Submit to this crap. Don't lift a finger. No, and you know what? The Constitution is right there. The Declaration of Independence is right there. It tells us how to do it. I just told you, you have a constitutional sheriff, a constitutional militia, a constitutional posse, a constitutional people, a constitutional, a commissioner. We have a group of citizens that oversee the police. The citizenry have to get back involved. And I'm telling you what, I can't stand these people. I've gotten where I can't stand to look at them. They just piss me off so bad, you know, because they are leading us to slaughter. And I say we need to name those people and get rid of them. And anyway, what do you think about that, Jim?
Well, again, Eddie, you're on a roll tonight. Excellent points. I just want to mention a couple things that happened to me. Not only do you have to take control if someone comes to your door, but you really should take control when you're out, okay? And I'll get to, I already told Monica about one of these this week. But I had two medical appointments this week. One was to have my teeth cleaned, and one was to have my my eyes examined. And so the first one, I had to go to have that appointment, and they never told me about wearing a mask. And so the woman texts me and says, "Okay, your appointment's coming up, and blah blah blah, and you got to wear a mask." And then I texted back saying, "I'm not wearing a mask. I am not wearing a mask." Then she explains to me, "Well, okay, we can make it work. I tell you what, you could come in through the back door. You could come in through the back door so people don't see you don't have the mask on." And I said to myself, Eddie, I use some chosen words I don't want to say here, but I use some chosen words, and I said, you know, blah, 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 there's no way I'm coming in through the back door. Okay, so that was that one. Okay, so then the other one, that now I had to go have my eyes examined. Same situation. I have the appointment, 12 o'clock. I go down, I walk in, and then I'm standing there, and she goes, "Well, look at, you don't have a mask. Well, we have a mask for you because there's an order that you have to wear a mask." And I said, "I'm not wearing a mask. There's no reason for me to wear a mask." So then the owner of the business comes out, you know, because she's a Jew now, you know, and they hate to lose money. Okay, so she comes out and says to me, she goes, "Well, have you had a vaccine?" And it's like, I'm saying to myself, who the hell are you to ask me if I had a vaccine? You know what I'm saying? So it's like I walked out of there too. So the moral of the story is that, you know, look, I lost two appointments, but there's no way in hell you're going to force me to do something I don't want, even though I needed what, you know, I wanted it done. I just said, I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. I'll go without it. That's all. I'm just headed.
Well, I tell you what, I had pretty much the same thing happen to me before I go back to Monica. You know, I have these never-ending plaguing injuries. It's always a different injury. If you're an endurance athlete, you run marathons, stuff like that, Coach Kevin Leather said, you're always going to have these little nagging injuries. I went to the physiotherapist. You don't call them physical therapists anymore. They got PhDs. And I told him, "I'm not wearing your stinking mask." "Oh, well, you have to. It's our protocol." I said, "Well, it ain't my protocol. I can either have it done or walk the hell out of here." So they took me in, but they put me in this private room. I said, "Well, that's great. I can be in my own private. I can have my own private room." But you have to stand up and resist. That's the minimum. I mean, that's the friggin' minimum. You know what, Jim? You're so right. If we can't stand up and say no, we're not going to drink our own urine. We're not going to eat our own feces. We're not going to rebreathe our own bad. Exhalation from our lungs. It's waste products. It's totally waste products, and you give into that. Just like Monica said, oh, in fact, we had a video one time. I wish I could play it. I'll try to look it up. It's the name of the video was "It's Only a Mask." It's only a mask. When you go through the airport, they're just fondling your privates. You just grin and bear it. You'll get through it. It's just an X-ray machine. You know, before going to Monica, this Satan worshiper in the White House, he's saying, not only do they already monitor, you get kicked off social media. I don't do that stuff much. But now they're going to kick you off your own stinking phone. They surely are. They're going to say, if you start talking against the government, if you say anything bad about the mask, they're going to prevent you from texting and using your own phone. For instance, Lee was stranded today. He had some seizures in his legs, and he had to call for a wrecker, to come get his car because he was laying out on the ground. He has all kinds of health problems. I hope you don't mind me saying that. But if he was on their crap list, they would block him. He'd be out there on the ground with no way to get his car home. That's what they're doing. Why are they doing that? Also, Akilah, I'm going to go back to Monica, and I'm going to reiterate again, I can't stand these peaceniks. I just test them. You know what? I'd rather have to spend all the night in a urine-soaked bed with a bunch of urine-soaked blacks than to have to be around these peaceniks, these liars, these pretenders, these charlatans. I cannot stand them. You know what? And I'm going to say one more thing. If we have to fight their battles, if they're too damn effeminate to get in and help us fight when it hits the fan, and they think we're going to do all their fighting, you know what? I don't want to get too rough here, but if we got to do that, then we're going to have access to your women and your car and everything else you got. We're going to kind of win. If we're going to fight this revolution and win, and you're going to settle. You think you're going to sit on the sideline and wear your little crappy lace underwear? That ain't going to happen. Janice just tuned in, and she said that Sumner County does not have a constitutional sheriff. He let three men here get arrested by the FBI over the January 6th debate. Well, none of them do. I can't think of it. There's very few constitutional sheriffs in the United States, Ms. Janice. Thank you for that tidbit. Monica, back to you, dear. My dear sister, Monica.
Yeah. Well, these days, we better really take care of our health and hope and pray that we don't need a doctor. You know, the only thing really that they're any good for these days is if you break a bone or you get in a car accident or something, you got trauma like that, physical, actual trauma, because you certainly don't want to go to a doctor for anything pharmaceutical. And the whole system is against us. I've heard of people being refused, regular medicine that they're relying on for, keeping their organs going or whatever. Suddenly they're refused if they haven't had the vaccine. So we're in a bit of a pickle, and there will be casualties. But like I say, we're in a war. And I just want to go back to something that you were talking about in terms of, fighting back and the hopium and that kind of thing. Like, let's think about our ancestors. They were warriors. Now, that doesn't mean that that's all they did all the time is fight. Warriors love nothing more than peace. But if there is a threat, they are warriors to protect their lands, their families. And we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't exist if our ancestors had not been great warriors. So we are absolutely, we by necessity need to fight back in this war that they have imposed on us, and they are attacking us on all levels. And so the examples that Jim gave, with just not getting his appointments taken care of because he was supposed to come in the back door with his mask so that nobody else sees that he's, or that he doesn't have a mask on, it's just part of the war. So they're going at it on all fronts, and including weather warfare, which is a whole nother thing we could talk about. And I also, after the break, maybe talk about this false Christianity, which
yes.
includes turning the other
cheek. Yes, that's one of my favorite topics. Be right back, folks.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Thank you, folks, for hanging on. We were just having so much fun tonight, and I think we're doing good work. Well, we're trying to do God's work, and when because we're fighting evil, and you know, we might not be perfect. We may think we're a little rough around the edges. I know I am, but we're trying to fight Satan. And when you're fighting Satan and all of his minions, and some of the minions you can't really tell, they can lure you in there with their siren song of being peace, peace at all cost. Well, there's a time for peace, but there's a time for violence too. Because, you know, war is violent. Like Monica brought up, our first war of independence, that was pretty damn violent, as was the war, Lincoln's war against the independent states. But I'm going to throw out a couple of names here, and y'all see if you can draw the connect the lines. Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, Hillary Clinton, Bill Ayers, Angela Davis. Angela Davis might be before y'all's time, but listen, I was listening today, once again, to, I think it was True News. I listened to a lot of different stuff. And, you know, mentioned that this General Miley wrote his thesis while he was in Princeton on how he listen, it wasn't just a thesis. It was 180 pages. It was a manual on everything, logistics, tactics, armaments, infantry formations, etc., how to pull off a guerrilla warfare takeover of an established government. That was your communist, little communist, homosexual loving Millie. Okay, that's what he wrote his thing on. Well, you know, Hillary Clinton, while she was in college, guess what she wrote her thesis on? She wrote hers on Rules for Radicals. Before the Rules for Radicals even came out. So you got Hillary Clinton, Bill Ayers. You may not remember, y'all, Angela Davis. She was that black, she was a black woman, like a fire-breathing, very violent Black Panther woman. And I think she did a little bit of time in jail for blowing up bombs and stuff like that. But then she's either retired or dead now. Then she went to teaching at where else? The University of California, Berkeley. But, you know, this is kind of an aside, Monica. Hillary Clinton, she had access to Rules for Radicals before it came on the market, before you could buy it, before anyone knew about it. And this Saul Alinsky guy, this Jew, communist Jew, Satan worshiping communist Jew, they're all in it. They knew each other. I submit to you that probably Miley probably knew about him. The point made today, the show I was listening to, all these people know, they pretty much know each other. It's a Satan-worshipping, Christian-hating, white-hating clique. That's what they are, pretty much. I just thought I'd bring it out there. But they were talking about the major smear operation against Donald Trump. And one more thing before I go to Monica. Yeah, Donald Trump, he did bring this all on himself. I mean, look at the people he brought in his cabinet, a pit of vipers, just a den of vipers, just snakes, They fought him. They're trying to kill him. They're trying to put him in jail. They want to kill him. But anyway, back to you, Monica. I hope that's not too so much of a rabbit trail. What do you have to say about that, Monica?
Well, yeah, they have control over a lot of what we supposedly learn, whether it's in school, universities, or books, whatnot. And I would contend that the Bible has been very manipulated and changed, and books left out of it and whatnot over time. And that you have this whole class of people who follow a false Christianity. I mean, I know that Jim did a wonderful rant on this a few weeks ago about, you know, what the heck are all these so-called Christians doing worshiping the Jews and believing all that nonsense that they are God's chosen people. And no matter what they do to us, and this is, you know, documented, and what Israel is doing to the Palestinians or and just whatnot, what no matter what evidence there is that makes them guilty of having done 9/11, for instance, and that's just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg of what they've done and lied to us about the Holocaust and whatnot. No matter what they do, there are some Christians who simply revere them and never will criticize the Jews and just think that they can do no wrong, and even if you point out all the evidence of the world. So what's that about? And then this other part about it is this so-called, you know, turn the other cheek, that people will say, oh, well, we have to turn the other cheek, and like you say, Eddie, to be peaceful and not be violent and whatnot. That is absolute nonsense. It's nonsense. So I don't know where people get that from. Is that really in the Bible, or has that been misinterpreted, or has it been manipulated? I think that is just complete nonsense. If we are under attack and there are people who are trying to kill us, if we turn the cheek, then they will succeed in killing us. That's not doing our ancestors any honor. We're not honoring our ancestors, and we're also doing a great bad against our descendants who will not exist. And what is this all about? You know, what is life all about? Is it just to sit there and become dead meat because we don't want to lift a finger? No. And so back to what I said earlier, if we now take things to the next level when they come and we say no, but they keep coming, well, we have to actually fight back. That is called self-defense. So if we become warriors, but we did not start this war, but we have to become warriors and fight back, that's not an act of aggression on our part. It's an act of self-defense. So anyway, that's my two cents worth on this.
I'd like to comment on that. You've made great points, and I know when Jim went off on that. I think it might have been just last week. I can't remember. But here's the thing. And we could do a three-hour show on this, but I think I can wrap it up in just a minute or two. Yes, we have, just as a quick aside, we had this guy named Schofield. He was part of a protege, of this guy John Darby, who was a blaspheming, a renegade. What do they call them? This a heretic. He was a heretic out of Scotland, and he was the one that came up, I think, around late 1600s, early 1700s, with this so-called Jewish dispensationalism. No one believed in that garbage in those days. No one did. Well, this Darby got a hold of this, you know, the guy who he so-called created the Schofield Bible. I've heard people in the Baptist church, they have this, their Schofield King James Bible, Schofield Bible. Well, their old Schofield is just barely over 100 years old. And this Darby guy got this Schofield Bible. He got controlled by a bunch of Jews. It's always a Jew, a bunch of rich Jews. They set him up. Schofield guy wrote the book. I'd have to go back and research this again, but I think he left his wife, left his kid. He left them starving, deserted his wife and kids, had an affair, lived high on the hog, money off these Jews. He wrote all this. These so-called Baptists I know of, that I used to be in a Baptist church, that go by the Schofield Bible, they will quote his text. They won't quote a Bible, the Bible, they'll quote his notes. He wrote in some Bibles, the margin of the boats would explain, for instance, a Greek term or Hebrew term. But you're absolutely right. They have no discernment. And I just tell people, anytime I want to know what's right, and it doesn't always work immediately, you go to prayer and you ask God Almighty in the name of Jesus to give you wisdom, to give you discernment, what is right. If you will always get you a nice King James Bible, there's another one, a couple of them, a little bit older than King James, was it the Givney Bible? I'd have to look that up. The white Bible that our ancestors came over here with, they were straight up, and you're absolutely right about our ancestors were not mealy mouths. Look at the First War of Independence we had. And I got to make this short because we're almost out of time because I want to go back to y'all. I don't want to hog the whole show. We had what they called the Black Brigade, the Black Regiment, whatever it was. They were ministers, and they were called that by the British because the British said that the most dangerous soldiers in the whole war were these Christian ministers that took off their preacher suits, and they put on the uniform of the colonist. Gene Andrews was on the show some time back. He talked about ministers in this war between the states, and they were leading the Confederate soldiers into battle, and they were walking backwards into the battle, preaching to the soldiers in the Confederacy as they commenced in the battle, and they were shot and killed. There were many ministers that shot back. There were many ministers that killed. They knew, they fought. It was a righteous anger, a righteous violence. King David is my favorite guy in the Old Testament because I always say King David was famous. He made his name by killing. King Saul lost the kingdom because he didn't kill enough. God told him to kill all these evil people. They were having sex with animals. They were sacrificing their children to Baal. And so God said, I'll have no part of that. I'm getting rid of every one of these people. I'm going to get them out of the bloodline of the Christ. And he had them killed. Saul didn't. King David steps in. Saul was famous for killing his thousands. King David was famous for killing his tens of thousands. So said, and that's pretty much the gospel. And was King David flawed? Yes, he was. He committed sins with Bathsheba, but he went to God and he asked for forgiveness about that. I hope that helps a little bit, Monica, but we need to do a whole show on that. Monica, go ahead.
Well, I should actually hand it back to Jim. He's still on the line there, isn't he?
Sure, sure, yeah.
I've talked an awful lot.
I'm enjoying the conversation, don't worry. I mean, I think Eddie was referring to the Black Robe Regiment. That's the ministers with robes, I guess that's what it was. Yeah.
And by the way, when I talked about your rant you did a few weeks ago, I should have prefaced that with your wonderful, powerful rant. I know the word rant sometimes has a negative connotation, but not at all. It was just great. So when you were challenging some of the folks in the South there, the Zionist Christians, right? That's what you were really challenging. And so I want to hand it back to you, but you really articulated it all very well.
Well, I'm sure Jim would agree, Jim. The Judeo-Christians, and I'll quote another fellow, I think his name was Pastor Pete, saying you're a Judeo-Christian is like saying, hey, I'm a virgin whore. And so I'll pass it back to you. What do you think about that, Jim?
Yeah, that term is a horrible term, Judeo-Christian. I mean, it's like driving the car with the brakes on. I mean, really, Judeo? I mean, you know, I don't know why they just can't say Christian, but no, they're gonna say Judeo. Which once you say Judeo, forget it. You might as well throw out Christian out of it because Judeo just completely obliterates Christian.
Yes, and I'm not God. I don't make the decision who goes to hell or what. But in my heart, I believe these people that preach that Judeo-Christian crap, and a lot of my Baptist brothers, I told them, you're walking on thin ice. Yeah, I think you're risking your eternal soul because you're not worshiping Jesus Christ anymore. You're worshiping. You have an idol. The idol of your Jews have become your idol. Israel has become your idol. These Baptists will dog Catholics. They'll say, oh, they got their holy water and Mary. Well, yes, they do. But you know what? You Baptists, you have your Jews and you have your Israels. Israel, that's your idol. Well, y'all, we've run completely out of time. Good night, Jim. Good night, Miss Monica. Thank y'all so much for coming on, you guys. Thank you, Jay and Sam. Y'all I can't believe what they did with this chat right in the middle of the war. God bless you. Thank y'all, everybody, for tuning in tonight. And we'll be here same time, same place next week. I think it's the 24th. Gene Andrews will be back by then. I think he will. Anyway, good night, everybody. Good night, Jay.